Blog Talk Radio.
America is essentially a dream. It is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, and of all creeds can live together as brothers.
I wish I could live in a fantasy world where everything just makes believe. Where nothing is wrong in the words of my song. Your love is all that I ever need. When I turn to the time that my heart wasn't mine, baby, I'm lost, lost, lost in my own reality. But all you got to do is, baby, hold on to me. When I'm not that free, your love is all that I need. Whoa, American dream, born in the hills. Every day, and I love to see the children. I'm talking about my beautiful America. I wish I could fly like an arrow through time to the arms that my destiny holds. When war is all done and my father comes home, our love will never, 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 never grow. When I turn to the time that my heart wasn't mine, baby, I'm lost, lost, lost in my own reality. But all you got to do for me, baby, is just hold on to me. Can't you see I'm not that free? Your love is all that I ever need. My American dream,
I have a dream this afternoon that the brotherhood of man will become a reality in this day. With this day, I will go out of a tunnel of hope to the mountain of despair. With this day, and transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrow. With this faith, we will be able to achieve this new day.
I want everybody to look at the board and hear me sing a song. Rainbow, blue sky.
All right. We're back. This is the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. My name is Yamsuf Arif. And if you're a new caller, perhaps you're wondering what we study. We study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. and his chosen people and their characteristics, what makes them, what makes them tick, what makes them move, what makes them function, what makes them have a constructive and positive relationship with the other and one another. We do a reverse engineering of these persons. We do a reverse engineering of the relationship with the Creator, and we ascertain what is in our best interest in order to have a constructive and positive relationship with the Creator and with one another. As a matter of fact, it's paramount to have these constructive relationships. But I can say truthfully, we don't have any constructive relationship whatsoever. When I say we, I speak in universal term when it comes to the Creator and when it comes to one another. You will find out in the studies once you've ascertained the behaviors of your brothers and sisters and you come to some confirmation that they actually made change, you can have a constructive relationship. You will see in the book of Joseph, in the 45th chapter, Joseph have ascertained that his brothers had actually changed from the men they were when he was taken into captivity by their hands. And because they have made changes in their lives, he feels that it's imperative and paramount that he have a constructive relationship with his brothers. And you will see forth in this chapter we're about to approach. That's why we tell you to approach these studies in a manner with an inner eye. What I mean is this. Before we proceed in any study, ask the Most High for wisdom and understanding. Ask the Most High to direct and order your steps so you can come to some firm conclusion that we come to, that relationships are paramount, especially constructive and positive ones. And as I said, Zoda will find out his brother has changed and elicit a different response from him. You know, at first he was stoic, standoffish, rather rude and abrupt with them. But once he found out his brother has actually changed, he said it's paramount on him to make that change, to make that move also toward his brothers, unlike some of us. So that is one of the reasons why the Most High says, study the rock you were hewn from and the ditch you were dug from, meaning your ancient ones, to get to the bottom of what true character is. But before we get into these studies, I simply want to say, if you are surprised as to what is approaching this Western Hemisphere, as far as the weather is concerned, and as far as these rumors of wars, it shouldn't come as a shock to you. You shouldn't be surprised at the so-called bank default, none whatsoever. Because as some said in time past, that Rome was a beautiful city on a hill. But I'm going to say this in relationship to this universal captivity. Rome was not the Rome you thought it was, those beautiful pictures in your history books. Rome was a city built upon decay, death, and feces in urine. And what I mean by that? You would think that because they had latrines in your house, their houses, they had running latrines under the city. No, they did not. And sometimes the poor people would just throw their feces and whatnot and urine into the street. And sometimes decaying bodies, perhaps 150 a day, were just lying and decaying. Sometimes the crematorium that they had outside of the cities would collect the bodies and burn them. But most often they just decayed. Dogs ate on them. You walked on them. You walked on the urine and the feces. So Rome was not a beautiful city built upon a hill. And the reason why I said that is this. In this Western Hemisphere, there is an illusion that there is a beautiful city built upon a hill, mainly in Washington, D.C. Just as in Rome, surely, in conjunction with that, is this Western Hemisphere. It's just a pretty picture in a history book because the underbelly is vile and brutal. It's thievery, it's theft, it's murder. And once upon a time in some people's villages and on those plantations, there were decaying bodies in the street. And as Joseph's brother has learned, and everyone will learn sooner or later, we reap what we sow. And perhaps you're wondering, Yom Suf Arif, who is the we you're making reference to? Why are you doing all this talking? Well, I'm making reference to Sister Avia of New York City, Brother Cartrell of New York City. And perhaps, rightfully so, you have a right to ask me, what do I know about him? All I need to know about him, all you need to know about him, which is this. They love the Most High with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their brothers and sisters as themselves, meaning that they're going to obey and be humble toward the Most High. Meaning in relationship to their brothers and sisters, they're going to accord them the same common courtesy as they want to be accorded. And they're not going to slander them. They're not going to abuse them. They're not going to dominate them. And certainly they're not going to kill them. It's true. And I hope you have the same mindset. Praise the Most High and bless His holy name. Let me introduce them to you. Sister Avia, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is high. Shalom.
Shalom, family, and all praises and glory to Yah. And I hope everyone's feeling well, and it's good to be back always.
Good to have you back, sister, always. All right. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, fam. Bless Yah, oh my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's good to be back. Good to hear your voices. How y'all doing?
Doing good, brother.
Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear
praise
your
Yah.
Voice. Praise Yah.
Good to be heard.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. But yeah, man, you was talking about the Romans.
Right.
And their living conditions. But that went all the way up through the Dark Ages until...
Exactly.
I forget the guy's name. He taught them how to clean themselves up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
My wife was telling me, Cartrell, you know, France, so-called France, was under Roman occupation. And my wife was telling me that the French people didn't take baths that often. And that's why
right.
they use a lot of perfume to cover their funk. They didn't know about bathing. Go ahead,
Cartrell. That reminds me of who it was, Louis Pasteur. He was a French dude.
Oh, all right.
Taught him how to clean themselves up.
All right.
But do you remember there was a movie with these explorers? I think it was, I forget his name, Ponce de Leon.
Right.
And they went to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
The Japanese said they could smell them before they even landed on shore.
Y'all stinking.
They got to shore, they offered them the opportunity to take a bath.
Right.
These Europeans told them, we don't take baths.
Hmm.
So the Japanese threw them in this pit and started urinating on them.
Yeah. Well, my wife told me something. Right. Yeah, my wife told me something. Right. To that effect. About the bathing of these Europeans and their bathing habits. The Moors, she said the Moors had taught them how to clean themselves because they were stinking. They believe in covering up the funk just like they do now, Cartrell, Sister Avia, and fellow. So they still believe in covering up their funk, metaphorically speaking. It's true.
Just sweep it under the rug.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I'm trying to think of that series that was on TV that they show these explorers traveling worldwide. I can't remember the name of it.
Right.
But that was a sight to see because it's supposed
exactly.
to be based on a true story.
Did it
and
come
the
on
the
last?
The Japanese smell them, huh?
Did it come on the series The Last Shogun?
It was something like The Last Shogun.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was something like that, but
exactly.
I'll think of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, only a third of the children in Rome, they had bathhouses, but they were not all that clean bathhouses in Rome. And only a third of the children survived the living condition in Rome. Rome was a filthy city. It looked pretty on the outside, but the inside was rather different, just like in this Western Hemisphere. Sure. All right. Cottrell, Sasavia, I'm happy to have you back for these studies. And I appreciate the effort you put in for the studies, for the LOM, and for our fellow students. And I suspect that the Most High is pleased also. Praise the Most High. So let's turn to chapter 45 of Bereshit, where Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. He's so overwrought because of the fact he has been sort of stoic and indifferent and rough with his brothers. But as I said, he found out his brothers has actually changed. So he felt he had to listen to some change also toward his brothers. So let's see what that change looks like. I talk about I love you, brothers, and so on and so on. So I love my brothers. But his action dictates that he's piped into love for his brothers. He's piped into that love. And we need to learn how to pipe into the love that Joseph has piped into in relationship that's characteristic of love, not just communication of love. Let's see what it looks like. Chapter 45 of Bereshit. Not Genesis. I know you call it that, but that's not what it is. Then Joseph, he could not restrain him. He couldn't stop what's about to happen, what's going on, how he feeling in regards to his brothers. Before all those who stood by him, he couldn't help himself. And he cried out, make everyone go out for me. I want everybody out of here. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept loud. And the Mizraims of the house of Pharaoh heard it. They heard him in their crying with these men. And Joseph said to his brothers, I'm Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brother could not, because they stupefied. What? Oh, wait, just a minute, y'all. What's really going on? Is this candy camera? So to speak, they stupefied. Because all this
shocked.
Time, they in shock. They think he's playing tricks on his homie. And he reveals himself to them. Yes, go ahead.
What made him cry? It was Judas' plea, right? That's where we left off yesterday.
Daddy
Judas
listened.
Making a heartfelt plea to Joseph. Like,
couldn't have him.
You can't take my little brother Benjamin because it's going to kill my father. If anything, take me.
Exactly.
So it had to touch Joseph that he saw that Judah would make that kind of a plea for his little brother Benjamin.
Right, from a different mother. Different mother, as he was.
Mm-hmm.
So as you said, Cartier, and I have to agree with you 150%, that it showed to Joseph, my brothers have changed. And his heart broke tender toward his brothers with compassion and kindness. The way they treated Benjamin. No, Yehuda said, no, that ain't going down like that. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what I'm asking may happen. Just take me. Let the little fella go back home with my brother. He's looking out for all his brothers and the little fella. And so that touched.
And they're not just words. Because that's a real life situation that they were in.
Exactly.
So he was willing to sacrifice his life for his baby brother, Benjamin.
Right.
And when Joseph saw that, he couldn't help himself. He had to cry.
But you know, he puts one in for his brothers too now. He said, let Benjamin go on back home and my brothers. I take the charge. He said, I'm going to take the charge. It's all on me. And you can't feel some sort of way about that, Cartier. Avia. fellow students. The change he was looking for, he saw. He saw the change he was looking for. Go ahead, Kadriel.
Judah did what he did because that's what he told his father he would do, right?
Exactly. He kept his word, even to his own hurt, as you said. Thank you, Kadriel. I'm Joseph. Now, here's what he says. They're dismayed in his presence, as Kadriel referred to, they're traumatized. And Joseph said to his brothers, please, come near me. They were standing off aloof. So they came near. Then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Mizraim. But now, do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. He said, you thought you had a part in this. Don't be grieved or angry with yourself. Because, see, you thought you were doing your thing. But in the final analysis, I found out you need to find out this was a Yah thing. For Yah sent me before you. Why? To preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land. And there's still 5 years in which there will be neither firing nor harvesting. Yah sent me for you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. I understand it. I want y'all to understand it. Don't hold it against yourself. But now it was not you who sent me here, but Yah. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house, a ruler throughout the land of Mizraim. Hurry. Go up to my father and say to him, thus said your son Joseph, Yah has made me lord of all of Mizraim. Come down to me. Do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen. You shall be near to me. You, your children's children, your flocks, your herds, all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. For there are still 5 years of famine remaining. And behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you, Joseph. So you shall tell my father of all my glory and misery as a result of Yah and all that you have seen. And you shall hurry and bring my father down here. Then he could not further restrain himself. He fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin reciprocated the love, compassion. Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers. He was saying, let bygones be bygones. You thought you had a part in it, but you didn't. And wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. They had a conversation. What went on? What happened? What transpired? They had an open, constructive, and positive relationship. They reestablished it. I don't know if they ever had it. But they established at this juncture a constructive and positive relationship, open communication. Now it continues. Now he told these Mizraimites nothing, but they got good listening ears through doors. Now the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brother has come. So it pleased Pharaoh and his son. They was happy because I guess Joseph was acting some sort of way. You know, they knew he was a total Mizraimite. And they wanted him to be happy. They wanted him to be with his family. So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants to him to have his family. And Pharaoh
said,
yes, go ahead, Katria.
The blessing that Joseph brought to Egypt by himself, or Mizraim by himself,
mm-hmm.
Pharaoh's looking at, oh, you got more brothers. You got a whole big family. That mm-hmm. means more blessings would come to Egypt.
Yeah, I suspect they had selfish motives. Praise Yah, Kadriel. I agree with
Praise
you.
Praise Yah. Mm-hmm.
So it pleased Pharaoh and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, said to your brothers, do this, load your animals and depart and go to the land of Canaan. Bring your father, your households, and come to me. I will give you the best of land in Mizraim. You will eat the fat of the land, Now you are commanded, do this. Take calf out of the land of Mizraim for your little ones and your wives. Bring your father and come. It's just like giving them an airplane. Also, do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Mizraim is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so. And Zoham gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh. He gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all of them to eat, each man, changes of garments. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. He sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Mizraim, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and food for his father for the journey, and parted. Okay, for the journey. So he sent his brothers away. They departed and said, he said to them, see that you do not become trouble along the way. Don't worry, y'all with you. Then they went up out of Mizraim and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob, their father. They told him, saying, Zoham is still alive. He is governor over all the land of Mizraim. And Jacob's heart stood still. He was in a state of shock because he did not believe them. When they told
him, almost gave the man a heart attack.
You better believe it. You're right. When your heart, his heart stopped to beat. That's almost a heart attack. Cottrell's right.
And if you thought his brothers were shocked, imagine Jacob when his brothers brought back that news.
Exactly. And when he told, thank you, Cottrell, when he told him all the words of which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the cross which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Woo-wee. Then Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Well, Cottrell, Sister Avia, the story is self-explanatory, but I'm sure y'all have something to add, and I want to listen to it. Fellow students, you want to hear it too. Praise Yah and bless you. Okay.
What I see in the whole thing is just like you said yesterday, Joseph seemed realized that was Yah's plan. So I feel like it was Yah's plan all the time. And
right.
Joseph followed up on it. Therefore, Yah's plan came together all in the right time, and timing has a lot to do with it. You just can't rush, because he could have rushed and did it some other way, or didn't even pay attention to what he was doing. He could have been evil, or what, you know, he could have treated his brothers a different way. So the plan wouldn't have worked if Joseph didn't follow by go by Yah's plan. But I said, praise Yah. For how he been making plans and how he want things to be, and that's the way it should be.
Exactly. He gave his brothers, because he finally realized, as Sister Abigail, what his dreams meant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why y'all thought y'all was doing y'all thing, but it was a Yah thing. And we good.
That's right.
Praise Yah.
He didn't take the revenge. Well, nothing. Just like you said also yesterday, revenge is Yah, belongs to Yah, not to nobody else. And that's where we fall very short, too. We
You're
something
right.
happened to us or somebody do us wrong, be ready to fight them, as they say. But, you know, ready to jump, take action. That's not what it's meant to be. Like you say, Yah, revenge belongs to Yah.
Praise Yah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, Sister Abigail hit some key points. The fact that Joseph was able to oversee the whole scenario and realize that it was the Most High the whole time, guiding and directing the whole action that went on. Imagine if the Most High had told him, this is how I'm going to do it. This is, look, sit down. This is, you're going to sell Joseph into slavery, this and this and this. Nah, he couldn't have told them. They just had to go through it. A lot of people don't believe in predestination. But we could see that there was a predestined destiny for all of them. And it started with Joseph's dream, because the Most High was giving him hints as to what the future would be. Now he realized what the dreams meant, that Yah was giving him a message for the salvation of himself and the family. And the major thing that I see is that Jacob realized that Joseph was alive. How did he realize Joseph was alive? Because Joseph was following the same patterns that he set, right?
Mm-hmm.
When Esau came to meet him, what did he do? He sent goat and lamb and sheep and camel to his brother, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Jacob's doing the same thing. Boom. Here they come on the return trip, and they got these carts full of stuff. And it's from the hand of Joseph. So Jacob recognizes, well, this is something that I would have did. This makes me know that my son is alone.
Exactly.
Now, like, that's a good saying when you say that, Brother Cartel. That's like the apple don't fall too far from the tree. It certainly did.
Exactly. And
exactly.
Joseph had the power to crush his brothers if he wanted to get revenge or he wanted to pay them back. You know, they say payback is a bitch. He had the power to crush them.
Exactly.
Yes,
but it's just
and they were very much afraid of him. Huh?
Yeah, it's just Abby out to his country. Business is mine, says the Most High.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my mother said two wrongs will make a right. And had Joseph taken vengeance or revenge on them, he would have been dead wrong.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I told That's why I told the fellow students, Katria, to listen up. But I'm sure y'all had a lot to share. And certainly y'all have shared a lot. And I hope they've taken these matters to heart. And we pray that they apply these matters in their very own lives. You know, stop seeking vengeance on your brothers and sisters. Let some things go. When they made amends and things have changed, mend your relationships. Have a constructive and learn to talk and communicate with one another. And certainly the Most High runs everything, Joseph had found out, and the final analysis of things. And we don't know everything.
That's an important word.
Right.
Communicate.
And learn.
You said it.
Learn how to forgive your brothers and sisters. I know me and my sister and my brother, we used to fight all the time, almost every day.
Right.
Me, my sister, and my brother. But
right.
we realize we got to be for each other because the outside world is more threatening than we are to each other. So,
but what did y'all have?
Joseph,
Cadrea, what did you and your sister, I mean, just three of y'all, what y'all got to fight about?
Come on, man. She's 1 year older than me.
Right.
He's 5 years older than me. Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest. So
right.
We fought over TV, fought over food. We fought over me wearing his clothes. Huh?
Right.
Well, you know,
yeah,
siblings always going to find something to fight for.
I had an addiction to food, right?
Right.
So people put food in the refrigerator, it'd be gone. And they know who did it. So we'd be fighting.
They know who did it. Gotcha! God damn! You had your food,
used
come on with it. You know I ate it, come on with it.
We used to, my brother had that problem. And he would claim that, especially with lemon meringue pie.
Right.
We would have some of that after dinner. And moms would pick it up, and that's it for the night.
Right.
We get up the next day, the rest of the pie was gone. But first my brother would claim he didn't like it. So he didn't taste none at that time.
Right.
But then when we get up the next morning, it was gone. And me and my sister, we got the whipping every time it came to that pie. Every time we would have it, the same thing would happen. Finally, my mother caught him sneaking in the kitchen one night, and she saw him eating a lemon meringue pie.
I know she felt bad
about it. I was so glad they whipping
stopped. But she got his behind that night, didn't she?
Yeah, she got him good. She got him good.
I mean, then going to put the jacket on his sisters. I don't like that kind of pie now.
That's right. But he got away with it for a while.
Yeah. But your mother, that only went so long. She caught his little sneaky behind.
That's right.
But Cottrell has, I have to commend him. He's not the man he used to be. Well, he was a little boy. But he's not the little boy that he used to be. He become a man in this fact that he's cognizant and conscious of his health and health-wise. He doesn't eat like that either. As a matter of fact, he's helped me as far as eating is concerned. So we all can change. Praise the Most High.
The praise him?
Yeah, you got to send us a picture of you going from 216 to 185. We got to see that.
Man, I was bloated. I was bloated. As a matter of fact, I came from 230. And I dropped about 15 pounds in about 2011. And I couldn't get rid of that 15, 16 pounds. Then I started listening to what you were saying about your eating habits and that you didn't eat late at night. And so I thought, let me change it up. And it works for me.
Works for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't see too many obese Mexicans when I was down there. Trust me.
They only get here and get obese. Huh? All right.
They eat proper.
Thank
but
you,
yeah, my mom's could cook. She was a wonderful cook. And I couldn't resist her food. So I would eat everything in sight, man. I blew up to like 220 pounds. And my hip out of socket. Huh?
How old were you, Cartier, when you blew up to that 220?
From like 10 to 13.
Are you, man, you was a big boy now.
Wow.
Man, you was a big fella.
Yeah, 216 pounds at 13.
I don't know
seeing you, Brother Cartier, I would have never believed that.
Oh, yeah. They used to call me Fat Steve. Fat Steve. Fat Steve.
But hey, Cartier, I was saying to them, how you like these apples now? Yeah.
Well, it's like, too little too late. Too little too late.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you turn out to be a beautiful swan, like the black swan. You know what I mean? How you like these apples?
Yeah.
It's reflective of the story we just read. When we're growing up, we go through a lot of hurts, a lot of pain. Sometimes it comes straight from your family, like Joseph.
Exactly.
But then you grow up and you realize that maybe the Most High was pushing me this way. And we come to realize, look up, the Most High pushed us this way in order to have the mindset that we have now.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You're so right, Cartier. So right.
Mm-hmm. I know I lost weight too, because I was 159 and I'm only 5'2", and I had to drop all that weight. It wasn't doing me no good. I finally made it down to 135.
That's pretty good for your height. 135.
Yeah, right. The doctor's trying to tell me I need to reach at least 128. No, I'm not white. I'm sorry.
You don't want to be a thick lady, do you?
No.
All right.
I just praise y'all for the good health I'm in today. All of us are in.
Praise y'all. You know what? And that's what we were talking about, Sister Avion, Brother Cartrell. It was about talking. Just like we're talking constructive and positive things, not no mess. Things that would elicit to help people, which helped ourselves, which would help others. Constructive conversation. And we talk a whole lot of mess now. But we need to stop talking a whole lot of mess and talk about something constructive and positive to help enhance and enlighten and improve our people. Praise the Most High.
Praise
you.
And what's funny in this story is that the brothers had changed so much.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't even make an issue of the fact that Joseph gave his little brother Benjamin five times more than he gave them.
Man, they ain't care about none of that. Long they were getting that. Long they didn't have no problem. I'm good. He can get 5 times. He can get 100 times. As long as I get 9.
Well, probably so, they were so happy they Brother Joseph didn't kill them.
Yeah. But they could understand. Contrary, here's the deal. They could understand he's favorite toward his baby brother with the same mother. Although he and our brother by the same father, we ain't mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
And Benjamin turned out to be the blessing, being
right.
that he got 5 pounds yeah. more than his brothers. They mm-hmm. needed to bring Benjamin with them.
You better believe
right?
it. I'd have brought 5 minutes.
So
good. I'd have brought 5 Benjamin.
They had a hard time with their father getting that one. He was an ambassador to let Benjamin go with them that time. Oh, no.
No.
Not this time.
No.
Judah said, listen, if we don't go, we're going to die.
Exactly.
And if you can put it on me. I'll bring the boy back. But if we
mm-hmm.
don't go, we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You and Benjamin, too.
Exactly. But I counted up the numbers, Cartrell. I think Benjamin was 22 years old. Because when Joseph said about 2 years of the famine has already been in effect. And then there's 5 more additional years. I counted. He was about 22 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Joseph, it seems like he was blessed more than Jacob. Seems like he achieved way more than his father. How are you second in command of the greatest nation on earth? And you got Pharaoh like he's your son.
Right. You should have Pharaoh.
That's quite an achievement.
Right. It is. For someone that's not actually a Mizrahite, that's quite an achievement.
But everything is possible with Yah.
You better believe it. Most importantly. Most importantly.
Just got to hang in there through the hard times. You might give up because you got thrown in jail in the pit because you ain't do nothing. You might curse y'all or something.
Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Because if anything, you can curse yourself. Curse your own life, as Job said. But don't you dare curse the
other. I was say Job.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Through the hard times, through the bad times, guess what you got to do? You got to do what King David did. You got to call on Yah when the times are hard. You got to do what Joseph did. Be faithful to the Most High, regardless of your situation. And our situation ain't as bad as his. But there are some of us who are in Joseph's situation, and the only real out is the Most High. So strengthen your spiritual bond with the Most High, like Joseph, like Jacob, like Abraham and Isaac. His brothers finally got it. But don't wait till it's too late.
Praise y'all, Cartrell. Praise y'all.
Praise y'all.
All right, Cartrell, fellow students. Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, Sister Abby. Thank you, fellow students, for studying along with us. Cartrell is about to proceed on the final segment of our studies tonight. Listen up. Look at you with your inner eye, meaning wisdom and understanding. And apply these lessons to your lives. Hallelujah. And these studies.
Hallelujah.
All praises to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Creator who created King David. King David, may the Most High bless him and restore his soul for the wisdom, knowledge, and the path to Yah that he gave us. So we in the book of Psalms, chapter 17.
Yep.
Yom Suf, you got a title?
Yes. Okay, hold on for a second. Let me put my glasses back on. And let me get some of these jelly beans out of my mouth.
I thought it was a chicken leg or something.
No, it's jelly beans, Godreal. Prayer with confidence and a final salvation, a prayer of King David. Again, let me repeat. Prayer with confidence. In final salvation, prayer with confidence, and final salvation. Praise God.
Now, ain't salvation is what people are looking for?
No, it's a final salvation.
Right. People are looking for the final salvation. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we're going to see if King David mentions Jesus in his prayer.
I doubt it. I got to put some more jelly beans in my mouth after that cocktail.
Watch your teeth with them jelly beans.
I know, brother.
All that sugar.
I know it.
But anyway, we get into a prayer of our king, King David, all up in his mind, in his thoughts, in his heart. Psalm 17, verse 1. Hear Yah my righteous plea. Is your plea righteous? So you got some stuff going on. You can't plea out or pray to the Most High.
Right.
Prayer should always be on the basis of righteousness. Give ear to my prayer that doesn't go out of deceitful lips. You can't lie to Yah. You can't be deceitful to the Most High. Sees and knows everything you do.
Exactly.
Let my senses come out of your presence. Let your eyes look on inequity. Look on equity. You have proved my heart. And you know what? Yah is trying, testing, and proving each and every one of our hearts, isn't he?
Exactly.
It's like Joseph tested his brother's heart, didn't he? They had to prove themselves then. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and found nothing. Can Yah try us and find nothing, or do we got something to hide, or we think we're hiding from the Most High?
Right. Exactly.
I have resolved that my mouth shall not disobey. Raise your hand if you made this commitment to the Most High. You won't disobey it. As for the deeds of men, by the words of your lips, I have kept my servant from the ways of the violent. That's incredible, because King David had to use that sword in battle. But he wanted peace, and he avoided violence at all possible turns. My steps have held fast to your path. Raise your hand if you hold your feet fast to Yah's path.
Exactly.
My feet have not slipped. And don't let your feet slip now. Don't get caught up. I have called on you. For you have answered me, Yah. Turn your ear to me, hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness. You who have saved those who take refuge by your right hand from their enemies. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings from the wicked who oppress me. My deadly enemies who surround me. They close up their callous hearts. With their mouths they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They set their eyes to cast us down to the earth. He's like a lion that is greedy of his prey. As it were, a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, Yah. Confront them. That's what we ask in our time, because we're dealing with the same type of situation. People setting their eyes on us to destroy us. So we ask Yah to arise and confront them. Cast them down. Deliver our souls from the wicked by your sword. From men by your hand, Yah. From men of the world whose portion is in this life. You fill the belly of your cherished ones. Your sons have plenty. Did he say your only begotten son? Or did he say your sons, plural?
Sons.
So if Yah has sons, how can Jesus be Yah's only begotten son?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The Most High considers the children of Jacob, the nation of Israel, his sons. So Pharaoh let my son go, even my firstborn, Exodus 4, verse 22, that he may serve me. Because Yah has sons, more than one. Your sons have plenty, and they store up wealth for their children. Just like Jacob, just like Joseph, that's what we're supposed to do. For your family, so it well. As for me, I shall see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake, when seeing your form. What's King David going to awake from? From death?
Mm-hmm. From death.
Because Yah's going to restore his soul for the future?
Exactly.
All praises. And all we know praises. That you're not going to see Yah's face because he didn't have a face. And you're not going to see his form because he doesn't have a form. But you will see his works, and you will see his salvation. All praises to the Holy One.
All praises.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I think Cartrell broke it down to you as if you were 4 years old. Don't become offended. He's not saying you're four. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that you're a novice. You didn't understand. He made it understandable for you. So now it's up to you to restudy it, then make the right application. Praise God and bless his holy name. Thank you, Cartrell. Well.
Yes, sir.
Fellow students, we've completed our studies, not in finality, we hadn't, but for the night. And we implore you to come back tomorrow to study, continue your studies, because this is a lifelong pursuit. One time is just not like Lay's potato chip. You just can't eat just one. You got to continue in your studies. You got to make this part of your ritual. It has to become an innate second nature to you to study the word of Yah. But most importantly, to apply the word of Yah. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Cartrell, Sister Avia, any last comments or closing remarks?
Just seek Yah, obey Yah, and praise Yah always. Shalom and good night.
All praises. Some of these psalms deserve a gold star. This is one. So if you have a trials and tribulations in your life, you're feeling threatened, turn to Psalm 17 and meditate on it, pour your heart out on it, and call on Yah like King David did. Since follow the leader, King David was loved by Yah, and Yah heard him when he cried out. So we have prime examples of how to reconnect with the Most High, and it's just a pleasure to gain this type of knowledge and understanding. So we love y'all, Israel. Hope y'all take the fruits of these studies and apply them to your lives and watch y'all move for you. Praise Yah. Shalom and good night.
Praise. It's just that simple. Praise Yah. Shalom and good night. We love y'all.
This love. yes, I know, yes, I know now. I wanna love.